I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. You want to join me there? Talk about living a blessed life. Who in here today wants to live a blessed life? I think we all want to, right? Live a blessed life. You know, what's holding you in your seat this morning, Robert? Gravity, right? If it weren't for gravity, then I guess we'd all just be floating around, wouldn't we? And as heavy as this building is, gravity holds it to the ground. It's just something that we take for granted, right? That there's a law of gravity. If I were to throw a ball up in the air, unless it's filled with helium, it's going to come back down, isn't it? And heavier things come down faster and quicker than lighter things, right? And as heavy as an airplane is, it can fly, but you can't. But as heavy as an airplane is, it also has to break the law of gravity to get off the ground, doesn't it? If you've ever flown on a jet anywhere, you can feel yourself being pulled down in your seat as that jet's leaving the ground, right? Because those engines have to be strong enough, and of course all the lift and everything, the other laws in effect there to get that thing in the air. It's got to break the law of gravity. We take all those things for granted, and we accept that there's a law of gravity, but most people, even many Christians, do not take God's spiritual laws as seriously as we do His physical laws, right? One spiritual law that is stated clearly in the Scripture is the harvest law. The harvest law. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will he also reap." Now that's true, isn't it? It's true in the giving of our finances and our time and our talents and whatever it is. Whatever you put in something is what you're going to get out of it. And so to help us understand God's harvest law better, that's where I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. It says, "The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Let's pray. Father, help us, dear God, to understand your word today as we look at it. Help us to be alert. Help us to have our ears open, our heart open to you, Lord, that we receive today from your word. Father, I don't believe we can open your word at any time and not hear from you. And if we don't, it's not that you're not speaking. Father, I pray that your people will, including myself this morning, will listen for your voice. Speak to your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's four principles that I want us to consider this morning about God's harvest law that's found in these verses. The first one is, we only reap if we sow. We only reap if we sow. Back again in verse 6, it says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now the Apostle Paul here is making an assumption. He is assuming that there's some sowing going on. It's kind of funny, Bubba, me and you were talking about planting gardens this morning and talking about sowing and stuff. And you didn't even know what I was going to do with this. But the Apostle Paul's assuming that sowing's going on. And I think that he's assuming that sowing is going on because he's talking to Christians, and that's what Christians are to do, right? And we'll learn more of that as we go this morning. But it's obvious that, and it's so obvious, you might say, that he's talking about that this morning, that it's almost seems silly to even mention it. We read that in the verses. Yet many Christians wonder, they wonder why that they haven't been reaping a harvest in their life, and it may be because they haven't sown anything. Kind of makes sense to me. You get out of it what you put in it. That's what you're going to hear me say several times this morning. You get out of it what you're going to put in it. That's true with a lot of things, isn't it? I remember way back when I was a teenager, and it's getting further and further back there, but my dad farmed, and then we had neighbors who farmed, and so as soon as I got old enough to get on a tractor, my dad and my neighbors put me on the tractor. Cheap labor, right? And so when it came time to plant, and say, for instance, we were planting corn, we would fill the hoppers up on that planter with corn, kernels of corn, and then we would plant it. And then later in the summer, we'd come back into the field and we would harvest cotton. Yeah, if we seen cotton, it would be the wrong field, not the field that we planted, because we planted what? Corn. And when you plant corn, you're going to get corn. If you plant Christians, you're going to get nuts, right? Hey, I'm a Christian too, and I'm probably more nuts than any of you. No, I just had to throw that in. But the thing of it is, the seed that you plant is going to grow into a like kind of what you planted, right? You get out of it what you put in it, right? Failure to observe God's harvest law. And that harvest law works whether you're literally planting something or you're planting your time, talents, and treasure, you might say, into God's kingdom. God's harvest law may be one reason why people who have wealth, it brings little joy to them because they're not sowing it back into God's kingdom. Because joy only comes from sowing, from giving, investing what God has given in ways that brings benefits to others and brings glory to God. God always rewards that, by the way. He does. That's a reminder to us this morning, those of us who already give generously of our finances to the work of the Lord, God always takes good care of us, doesn't He? We only reap if we sow, and we get out of it what? What we put in it, right? A second thing about God's harvest law is we reap only what we sow. We reap only what we sow. This principle says that we reap exactly the same kind as what we sow. In Galatians 6:8, it says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, we've already established that if a farmer plants corn, he's going to get corn. If he plants beans, he's going to get beans. The farmer's not going to get something different from what he has sowed. He's going to get the same thing. Now, that comes with other things as well in life, doesn't it? It comes with issues that I might have. For instance, if I'm an angry person and I sow anger into people around me, then anger is what I'm going to get back, right? It just stirs everything up. If I'm a critical person and I'm always criticizing everybody around me, then I'm not going to expect to get an understanding from other people. If I sow anger, I can't expect to get peace. If I'm hateful, I can't expect people to love me and be kind to me, right? If I have a smart mouth, and I've known plenty of people like that, then I'm not going to have too many friends, aren't I? That's really how it is, isn't it? What you put in it, you're going to get out of it. We only reap if we sow. We reap only if we sow. And a third principle of God's harvest law is we reap more than what we sow. In verse 10 of our text today, it says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." God multiplies the seed that we have sown. Think about what it would be if a farmer sowed one kernel of corn and a little sprig popped up and it just had one kernel of corn. That's all. Put one in, get one out. But that's not how it works, is it? That would be insane. God's harvest law goes in effect there. And that one kernel of corn sown into the ground becomes a stalk with several ears of corn and hundreds of kernels of corn, right? That's how it works. That's the harvest law. And God's harvest law works the same whether it's natural things like a stalk of corn or whether it's spiritual things. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, He says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you." If you sow generously, then you'll reap generously. Because as you and I have heard, you can't outgive God, can you? You cannot outgive God. Now, we're not talking this morning about any get-rich schemes. And we're not preaching a prosperity gospel today that guarantees that if you do this and you give God that, that you're just going to get wealthy overnight, right? We're all going to have fancy cars and fancy houses and jet airplanes and all that kind of stuff. We're not. Some of us have the ability to work and earn those things, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but if you're simply applying God's harvest law to that, it doesn't mean that if I fill the offering plate with money this morning, that tomorrow God's going to just pour heaps of cash back into my lap. But I do know if I'm faithful with that, He will always be faithful back to me, right? His blessings, by the way, comes in a lot of other ways besides just money. Whatever you sow, kindness, love, money, ministry, God will always give an increase of your faithfulness to sow to Him. God's harvest law is just simply you and I being committed and faithful to Him, right? How would you say you are this morning on the commitment level to God? How would you say that you are this morning on measuring your faithfulness to God? If we're honest with ourselves, we're not as faithful as we should be, right? We're not as committed as we should be. And so if I come to the conclusion that I'm not as committed as I should be and I'm not as faithful as I should be, then what do I need to do? I need to get more committed, right? And I need to get more faithful. And as I get more committed and more faithful, then God is going to be more faithful. And really, I don't know how much more faithful that he can get than he already is. Do you want a blessed life? Is anybody interested in that this morning? We want a blessed life, don't we? Then we have to sow blessings, right? Because why? Get out of it what you put in it, right? Get out of it what you put in it. We only reap if we sow. We reap only if we sow. We reap more than we sow, and often we reap later than we sow. Back in Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says this, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." See, that's the thing. You say, well, I've been sowing and sowing and sowing, and I've been believing God for this and believing Him for that and believing Him for the other. Then why is it taking so long? You know what I mean? It's just taking so long. I've been dealing with this issue for so long, and I've been waiting for so long. And the key word in that verse right there is due season, right? Because we don't know. We think due season's right now, don't we? It's right now. But due season really is when God says it's due season. And we can't see when that time is. So all that time that you say that you're waiting, in due season, he says we will what? Reap. If we what? Do not give up. Don't give up. That's what it says. In due season. Now there's a season for sowing and a season for reaping, right? And they're separated by a passage of time. Just like back when I worked the farm, we didn't plant one morning, go home and eat lunch, and then come back that afternoon and plants were sprouting up in the field. That sure would have been nice because it would have saved a lot of trouble and a lot of worry and all these other things. But don't work like that, does it? There's got to be a passage of time between sowing and reaping. Spiritually speaking, though, and that illustration sounded kind of silly, didn't it? But spiritually speaking, we're like that sometimes, aren't we? We want it to happen right now. That's because we're in a right now generation, aren't we? We live in a right now world. Everything tends to happen now. God, I gave you 10% of all my hard-earned cash this week, and by golly, I want it back now. And I want it 100-fold. And if you listen to the prosperity preachers, they'll say that's what you're going to get, right? Put it in and get it back 100-fold. Well, if that were true, wouldn't we all just want to come and empty our entire bank accounts this morning into the plate? Are you going to get it back 100-fold? There's some people that are doing that, though, and they're led wrong, right? And I don't dare lead you that way because I think we just need to be faithful to give and let God take care of the rest, right? Let Him take care of the rest. And many of you in here today have been faithfully giving for years. And years and years, and you've seen this at work, haven't you? I've seen this at work in my life. And we could probably line people up here this morning and have them give testimony to the fact that God is faithful, right? He's proved that to me. God has multiplied blessings in my life, and it'll continue But in due season, right? When I need it, it'll continue. Our responsibility is to be faithful to sow, and His responsibility is to bring the harvest in due season, right? We've talked about four principles of God's law. Now I want you to quickly notice the principles that that produces. Number one, our giving causes us to prosper financially and spiritually. Now, when you read that, it doesn't mean that you're going to get rich, does it? It says, I said prosper. It's prosper. I don't mean get rich. And like I said earlier, we're not talking about a secret formula of worldly success and wealth. I'm talking about us being faithful to God as He's been faithful to us. Verse 10 said that when we give, God multiplies our seed for sowing and increases the harvest of our righteousness. Are you getting this morning? Are you understanding this? Is it falling on deaf ears this morning? Are you awake? Yeah, you are. You're nodding your head and you're smiling. See, preachers have to get a little goofy from time to time because we got to know that you're listening, right? And you're not thinking about the roast or the mashed potatoes or whatever it is you're going to eat for lunch. Talk about that while you're milling around shaking each other's hand. Hey, what are you going to have for lunch today? A second thing, our giving produces our love, or proves our love for God. Doesn't it? You ever give your kids or your grandkids something, they just grab it and run off? Don't even say thank you. Oh yeah, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Give them something, or they don't like what you gave them. They wanted something bigger and better, and you gave them all you had, and they just either laid it down and took off, or they ran off with it. And you know we do that with God, don't we? Don't we? God blesses us and we just grab the blessing and just run off. To me, that says we don't really love God like we say we do, right? We take, and we never give nothing back. You get out of it what you put in it, right? And I don't think any of us in here this morning would say that we don't love God, right? That you say, well, that's a given. I'm here in church today because I love God. But what are you doing with the blessings that He's given you, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 says, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Paul said that the generosity of the Corinthian Christians would cause people to glorify God when they saw the sacrifice of those who profess to know Jesus make sacrifices of giving. It's one thing to say that we love Jesus, it's another thing by putting it to action, right? As they say, putting shoe leather on the ground. We demonstrate our love for God by sowing sacrificially. We bring glory to Him by showing our love for Him. Amen? Are you with me? A third thing that it produces is our giving provides for those in need. Verse 12 says, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. When you give to the church, a good percentage of what you give goes to provide for others. We saw the video earlier talking about that Annie Armstrong offering. What we give to that goes to help others, right? goes to help missionaries plant churches and reach other people for Christ. And there's such a need for that, isn't there? We support missionaries all over the world with our giving. Just your tithe every week that you give to the church, there's a percentage of that that goes into what we observe and call the cooperative program. And that funds ministry after ministry after ministry. When you see that Southern Baptists are on the scene when there's been a disaster happen, you're giving to this church week by week. Part of that has gone to help those folks go and help someone who's been in a tornado or a hurricane or some other disaster. All kinds of ministries. I could go on and on and on about what our giving, how that provides for others. It does, doesn't it? That's the work of the church, by the way. See, we're not, and we shouldn't be, a sit-and-soak church, right? You know what I mean by that? You come and sit, and you soak it in. And you sit, and you soak, and you sit, and you soak, and you go home, you come back later, and you sit, and you soak some more, and back and forth. No, we want to be an active church, right? An active church that helps other people do these ministries. And for us to do these ministries right here in Lexington, let's don't forget about that, right? There's people all over Lexington and Holmes County that need to know about Jesus. And because we support God's kingdom and God's work, then we want to be a part of reaching people for Jesus in this area, right? Next week, we're going to start revival services with Ron and Janice Shrum. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to come to a revival and have a series of services just for things to go back like they've always been, same old, afterward. That's why that when I go into a revival service time of the church, I want to be prayed up. And I want God to speak to Keith. How can I be different, God? How can you change me? What do I need to change about myself? What have I not been doing that you want me to do? And lead those services and be committed to come every service time and with my ears tuned to what God wants to say to me. And He wants to speak to us, by the way. He really does. It's all in the name of Christ and for the sake of the gospel, right? That's why we're here. God blesses us in order to be a blessing. We give sacrificially to God, causes us to have a blessed life. You say, well, I don't have a blessed life. Well, number one, are you sowing? Because what? You get out of it what you put in it. Well, I just don't like to go to church, and it's the same old thing, and my Sunday school class, and this and that, and they don't have any kids, and all this stuff. You get out of it what you put in it, right? And I had some lady tell me one time at another church, she said, I just don't get anything out of the service. See, she was coming wanting everything to be fed to her. No, what I asked her, well, what are you bringing to the service? What are you bringing to the service? I guess she thought I ought to be blessed because she brought herself to the service. Well, I was glad she came. But I didn't really want to hear about, I'm just not being fed, Pastor. You know, you tell a pastor that, I'm just not being fed. Well, did you bring a fork with you? Did you bring the Word with you? Did you bring anything with you to cause you to be fed? Whose fault is it if you come to church and you leave empty? Well, the preacher didn't preach good enough. Or the song leader, he just didn't sing the right songs. He sang songs that I didn't like. What'd you put in it? Did you try to learn the song? You put in it, and then you get out of it, right? If you bring it, bring something, bring a blessing, and exchange it for a blessing, I guess you could say. You get out of it what you put in it. Be a blessing. The David Crosby, who is the pastor of First Baptist New Orleans, I noticed a couple of times when I've heard him, he would pray like this. He said, pray with open hands. You're bringing something to God, and you're receiving from God when you come to church, right? And when you pray, you're not praying like this. He's got his hands open, see? And he's ready to receive and ready for God to take out and for God to put in. He can't do that if it's like that, right? If we're tight-fisted, he can't do that. I just encourage you to pray like that. Just pray like that. God, I got my hands open. You take out. And then my hands are open for you to put in. Think about that. That's God's harvest law, by the way. Be a blessing and receive a blessing. I believe that. It works. Let's stand together and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful, dear God, for every blessing. Every blessing, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be more faithful and more committed. Help us, Lord, to have our heads straight, our mind focused, Lord. Help us to know that we've got to put something in it to get something out of it. We've got to sow seeds in order to reap a harvest. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us do that, dear God of heaven. In due season, we're not to give up. We won't give up. We're not going to give up. We're going to sow seeds, and in due season, Lord, you'll give us the harvest, dear God. We've got to have it, Father. We've got to have you. We need Jesus, Lord God. I pray that everybody here today knows that they know that they know that they're saved today, Lord. If not, I pray, Father, during the invitation time that they would come forward and make a definite commitment to Jesus. For we pray these things in His name. Amen.
Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? If you do this morning, would you sing Trusting Jesus with me?